The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You miss me?
I hope you did. Your boy is back. The NFL playoffs are about to begin. I got my man RC. I mean, traveling all over the country, doing interviews all over the place and stuff like that. Because the pivot is all that. My man, Bart Scott, is wreaking havoc, doing radio all over the place, handling his business. I'm very proud. And Mollywood is doing what she always does. But again, having said all of that, to the First Take audience out there, to everybody around the world watching First Take, I got one question. Did you miss me? I think everybody does, except Cowboy fans, because you got 2 days. Just 2 days, y'all. And it's a wrap. Woo! First Take's in the house. Let's go.
Here we go now.
It's playoff time. We want to keep our season alive. We got to win today.
You feel my energy. You ain't no friend of me. You say you love me, but you are an enemy.
You ever think about a window?
The window's my whole career.
Tell the way we have them going crazy like a monster. I'm built different and I feel different. Even feel different when I win.
You take advantage of the moment.
No matter how we win, it's if we win.
At any moment, one play can end your season.
Mahomes looks to throw it.
Or keep it going.
Touchdown! Come back to win the game.
My window's my whole career. Good morning, everybody. What's going on? Welcome into First Take. RC Bar SA is back. I'm Molly. Gentlemen, how we feeling? How we living? Happy Friday.
I'm good.
Happy Friday, Molly. How you doing?
Excellent. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, Ryan, blink sure. 3 times. You've been held hostage.
Hold on.
I'm not being held hostage.
Wait a minute. I start off this show, and I ask the question, did you miss me? And then Ryan Clark comes on camera looking like he just lost his best friend. I'm your boy. I'm here, RC. I'm right here, baby. I mean, the smile.
Hey.
Smile, RC. Smile,
this
man.
Is it.
Smile.
Bro, I've seen you the entire week. You've been on 77 shows promoting this new fabulous book. I couldn't miss you. You were impossible to miss the entire week.
Hold it.
You did more TV
Hold
not
it.
Doing First Take than you do doing First Take. So why and how can anybody miss you? You are unmissable, and I don't even think that's a word.
How could he say this to me? By the way, RC, I have a very important question to ask because our friendship is on the line with the way you answer this question, okay? I am coming down to New Orleans tomorrow.
When?
Saturday. Are you going to be there?
Okay.
Are you tomorrow?
I am going to
Are you going to be there?
Okay. I am.
Well, my boy better be there. That's all I know. My boy better be there.
Where,
they tell me about at least 1,000 people
going to
show up.
There.
Is my boy going to be there? All right.
You tell me that. I didn't know you was coming.
I want to make sure.
Well, I missed you.
I'm coming.
I got no
Damn
Wi-Fi.
Damn it, everybody else in New Orleans knows I'm coming. How do you not know I'm coming? I'll be there
because
tomorrow.
I'm working,
You
Stephen
better
A.
be there.
I'm working.
All right. Welcome back,
true.
Stephen A. We all missed you.
He's working, Molly.
Welcome back.
That's okay. Right, Molly. Say it proudly, Molly. Don't be.
See what the producers did? They're done with you. They're already running the video. The Cowboys have revenge on their mind after San Francisco sent them packing early in the playoffs in a game to forget at Jerry's World, where Dallas had the clock management gaffe. Dallas will have an opportunity to get even in the Bay. Here's Dak on getting a rematch versus the Niners.
Most definitely I did. I think this whole team did. Obviously, using that loss last year as a motivation and just kind of the focal point, I guess, of the resiliency that we carried into the offseason, obviously carried into this year. Yeah, we get a chance to go back at their place, do something that we want to do.
All right, here's the deal. The divisional round hasn't been kind to the Dallas Cowboys for quite some time. America's team has lost its last six appearances in the divisional round of the playoffs and has not been to an NFC championship game since 1995, the last time they won a Super Bowl. Stephen A., I'd like to start with you, since America missed you so dearly. How much pressure is on Dak to prove himself?
There's immense pressure as far as I'm concerned. A lot of people have been walking around over the last few days, four to be exact, acting like because you beat a team that was clearly older, wasn't on your level, and, oh, by the way, in desperate need of new coaching since people are getting fired there, the reality of the situation is that Dak Prescott did what he was supposed to do. He deserves major props for it in all seriousness. He truly, truly does. But I don't think that it's beyond the pale to remind the NFL audience out there, including the two aficionados on the air with me right now, who have forgotten more football than I know because they played the damn game and I lean on their knowledge to learn as much as I learn. The fact of the matter is I'm a damn good student. And the reality is that I have been taught that the San Francisco 49ers are on a significantly higher level than this version of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so the challenge that Dak Prescott faced Monday night is nothing compared to what he's going to face this weekend. And I think because of that, we're looking at Dak Prescott, certainly not the same kind of pressure. He had to beat an inferior team and had to show out against them. Otherwise, you know, his name would have been mud, and we get all of that. In this particular instance, if he wasn't that effective, it's not like he's going to lose his job. He's not going to get paid. It's not like he's not going to be the starting quarterback next year. But what it will remind us of is that there are levels to this, and Dak Prescott just ain't on it as of yet. That's what a game of this caliber means against a team of this caliber in the San Francisco 49ers. So, yes, there's some big-time pressure on him.
Whenever you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, there's going to be pressure on you. It's the team that we as a network cover the most. It's the team that gets the highest ratings. It's the team that's worth the most in all of professional sports, in the four major sports in America. Like, we're used to that. We know that about this team. Here is why there's more pressure on Dak Prescott right now. And I disagree with Stephen A. and some of the things that he said because of this. The San Francisco 49ers are what we perceive to be the better team. But I do believe that many people look at this game and say that if the Dallas Cowboys are the team that we saw Monday night, they could beat anybody in the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys that we saw Monday night, both offensively and defensively, are the best team in football. And so now it's, can you raise your level of play to that when you're playing a team that is more talented than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when you're playing a team that is better coached than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and when you're playing a team that has better and more momentum than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? It's not about, do the Dallas Cowboys have the people to beat the San Francisco 49ers? Because I believe they do. And you got an opportunity to see that on Monday night. But it's, do they show up? And in showing up, does number four show up? Because now we don't get to have the conversation of, is Dak Prescott just not talented enough? Can Dak Prescott use his legs to get outside of the pocket? Hell yeah, we saw it. Can Dak Prescott protect the football when he needs to? Hell yeah, we saw it. Can Dak Prescott make the correct throws? Does he have the talent to make every throw on the field? Hell yeah, we saw it. Now you got to go show it. Now you got to step up, earn the money that you were given, and say, this is not about just being here. It's about excelling while I'm here. And if Dak Prescott doesn't do that, the type of criticism that will be heaped on him will be monumental. I'm not coming to work on Monday if the Dallas Cowboys lose because I don't want to deal with Southern Steve. I'm going to stay telling New Orleans. I'm going to call in the Sam. I'm going to call Antoine. I'm going to call James. I'm going to text Stephen A. and say, I can't make it. I have the flu. And even with saying that, I'm going to do get up first and then leave, because I'm not going to want to hear what's going to be said about the Cowboys if they do lose.
I mean, listen, what we're talking about is consistency and living up to expectations. right? It, you know, Dak Prescott, his whole story is an American story. We all love the underdog. But he's not the underdog. When you look at the field, he's the brand name. He's the guy, right? We fought for him to say, hey, man, he deserves to become a franchise quarterback. We want to put him in the top 10. We want to say he's an elite quarterback. If he can't beat this field of quarterbacks, then when will he ever, you know, take the Dallas Cowboys to the promised land? And to do that, he's going to have to be the difference. Because when you look at it, all things are even, right? It's talent on both sides of the football. You got, you know, guys that can play in the trenches. You got, listen, box office defensive players, right? I think you have right now the match, the final match, and the deciding factor about who's going to be the defensive player of the year. It's stars on both sides. But you're telling me that you beat Benjamin Button last week. That's to be expected. You can't beat a Purdy? You mean to tell me that the story and the narrative that's going to be written is that Brock Purdy is continuing to ride this Cinderella story? This is when Dak Prescott is supposed to show us that he's elite. This is when he's supposed to step up. We've seen Super Bowls where Joe Flacco has won a Super Bowl. We've seen Super Bowls that featured Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl. If you're supposed to be this elite quarterback, then you're supposed to be the defining factor. That's why the pressure is on Dak Prescott to step up and be a force multiplier, to elevate in a tough environment. It's never easy for that road to greatness, right? But if he wants to be considered a franchise quarterback worthy of the money, worthy of losing a guy like Amari Cooper, because eventually, whenever you get paid that money, you have to start looking at your teammates and see which one you want to cut. So I want to see what is Dak Prescott made out of. Was last week an admiration, or is that the new norm? Can he get his team on his back? We've seen Super Bowls that feature Eli Manning going into a zone. We've seen Joe Flacco go through a zone, not having any turnovers. Can this be the beginning of a beautiful story about Dak Prescott ascending and becoming a brand name? He's the brand name on this side of the ball. It's not Danny Dimes. Jalen Hurts just got invited to the party, and Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. So if Dak Prescott can't win now, then when can he beat? Because this division is only going to get better.
A couple of things that I wanted to say, just a couple of things as an aside. You know, that's the beauty of First Take, you know. The fact of the matter is that both of you just sound so brilliant, so eloquent in your words, your diction, and how and what you delivered and the substance and the content under what you said.
What's the
so
but?
Touching. You know what I'm saying? I just want to say that. The beauty of it all is that you could have just said it in one sentence. We agree with Stephen A. I mean, that's all you had to say. That's all you had to say. And then everybody
I knew it was coming.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's just,
I knew it was coming.
I said that's all you had to say. And other than that, to my aunt Dot in North Carolina, your signed copy book is on the way. Smiley, you may continue.
Thanks for that, Stephen A. I have a feeling it's going to be a long 2 hours for this girl. Niners favored by 4, and that one.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We keep it rolling, guys. The Bengals travel to Buffalo to play in front of a wild Bills Mafia crowd. Josh Allen and Joe Burrow have been two of the league's top quarterbacks this season, including each of their playoff games. Allen has 45 total TDs and a total QBR of 68.5, while Burrow averages 276 passing yards per game with a 69% completion percentage. Stephen A., which quarterback would you rather build a team around?
Well, listen, I mean, it's either or for me, because I think they're both sensational. But right now, I would tell you, when I look at Joe Burrow and his ability to fling that football, I mean, I thought the question was really about this game as opposed to their careers. But I would still say to you, chances are Burrow. Here's my thing, RC and Bart, and I'll defer to y'all without question on this. But here's my thinking. Burrow is an elite passer of the football. I think he's big time. And obviously, Josh Allen has that capability as well. I mean, that's 1-1-A. I mean, tomato, tomato, it doesn't matter. These brothers are something special. The thing that I find myself growing increasingly concerned about with Josh Allen are two things. This insatiable appetite to overcompensate for what you think is a diminished version of the Buffalo Bills from time to time. And the other thing is he's running with the football too much, RC and Bart. I think he's exposing himself. Now, this is the kind of thing that, you know, listen, me and my slim self, my weak self, I understand it might not matter to a lot of people, but damn it, I shake Bart's hand, or I push Ryan Clark. They feel like brick walls, you know what I'm saying? Ryan Clark, I'm watching him train these kids out there on the football field. He got me wanting to come out there and try, damn it, at least it'll get me in shape. I mean, damn, this is RC that we're talking about. Bart Scott, I knew Bart Scott had no chance in hell of beating and Jay Williams, and then when he went on a basketball court, because all he was interested in doing is fouling people because he wants to hit people. That's what he does. These are brick houses that I'm working with, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, like
now I'm looking at Josh Allen. I'm looking at Josh Allen on a football field, and I'm saying I know he's a big boy. I know he's rough and rugged, but in the same breath, if you continue to subject yourself to those kind of hits that he takes, yeah, he can take them. But eventually, at some point in time, you know, it ain't gonna matter because you took one too many. Joe Burrow doesn't do that. Josh Allen does. And that's what makes me lean towards saying I would be a Burrow guy before a Josh Allen guy, even though they're both fantastic, and I don't believe I lose with either.
First off, I absolutely love both of these quarterbacks. I think they are so different. Joe Burrow, from a cerebral standpoint, to me right now is the top quarterback in this league. The things that we would give guys like Tom Brady, the things that we would say about quarterbacks like Drew Brees, I believe that there's no quarterback that understands the position as Joe Burrow does. But with that being said, and I'm sure that when Stephen A. was back in, you know, at HBCUs, that they used to play this song a lot. The freaks come out at night. And when the freaks come out, that's what
all
I'm talking about with Josh Allen.
All the time.
Josh Allen is an absolute freak at the quarterback position. And let's think a little bit about what we saw from him in the divisional playoff round against Patrick Mahomes. When Patrick Mahomes was the best we'd ever seen him, he wasn't the best quarterback on the field that night. Josh Allen just couldn't get the football back because of overtime rules. And with that type of arm talent, with that ability to run, with the fearlessness that Josh Allen plays the quarterback position with, I believe I'd start my organization with him because he has so many things that you can't teach. There's so many things that Josh Allen can do that if you cut the film on and you were training young quarterbacks, you would say, don't try that. Nope, don't do that. Nah, you can't do that because you aren't blessed with what he's gotten. Now, think of the difference between Josh Allen this year with Ken Dorsey and last year with Brian Daboll. Think about who Daniel Jones was when he had Joe Judge, and now having Brian Daboll. I think you're seeing a little bit of a regression in his decision-making, a little bit of his regression in understanding take the smart play, because he's not being coached that way anymore. But if you put Josh Allen and Joe Burrow in the same situations time by time, team by team, position by position surrounding them, I take Josh Allen every day because he has so many things that absolutely cannot be measured and cannot be lived up to by other quarterbacks.
I want to go Steven, Ryan, Steve. I'm a tiebreaker, right? You know what?
Yeah.
Stephen A., you're right again, Stephen. You're right because usually what you talk about, what Ryan is talking about, God-given ability, right? And that only can get you so far because what's built lasts longer than what's born. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, when I see Josh Allen, my biggest concern is I think I'm seeing Cam Newton. And we watched Cam Newton come and take this league by storm. You saw him take the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl. But eventually the hits catch up to you. And so I just don't think that Josh Allen, if he continues this play, remember that we thought that he wasn't going to be available because of the Jets game, because he put himself at risk. He had the shoulder injury, and that was in the pocket. And then he exposed himself out of the pocket. Eventually, somebody's going to give him one of those shots that's going to alter the way he played the game. When I see Joe Cool, it reminds me so much of Joe Montana, not Tom Brady, Joe Montana. His ability to have a slow heartbeat. His ability, because he's a guy that had to struggle for everything that he has. You talk about his ability to be so athletic and poised within the pocket. Last week, I watched a whole feature about, you know, when he went to Ohio State, how he was loose with the football and how he's so great in the pocket and doesn't turn over the ball. Even though he gets hit a lot within the pocket, he's smart in being able to climb into the pocket, manipulate the pocket, and be able to manipulate the defenders with his eyes. He's a guy that's told us, and his swag is on 100,000. I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback more confident. This man was asked about his window.
LSU.
He said, okay, listen, LSU by way of Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? But you talk about, you know, just his swag and his ability to live up to the moment. You know, no matter what you say, and we know that this wasn't, you know, Josh Allen's fault that, you know, his defense forgot that how to play football, and Frazier swallowed his whistle. You know, the fact that Joe Cool is went into that Kansas City Arrowhead and beat who we think is the baddest man right now, yeah, the boat right now. And if we really want to have some truth, Sturm, when we watched the matchup early in the season, before the unfortunate injury to Hamlin, they were on the way to going up 14-3 and looked like he was in control of that football game. So, I mean, I think we're going to see the difference. And the beauty about it is we can play this on paper and we can play hypotheticals, but it's going to play itself out on Sunday. We're going to have our answer about who we want to build our franchise around, because we get to see both of these guys with flaws, right? We have one team that defense is hurt and one without three starting offensive linemen. If Joe Cool can pull that off in a hostile environment, I mean, case closed.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, I don't know if that answer will occur on Sunday, because we've seen times in the past. I saw Josh Allen lose an AFC championship game, but play lights out. And we knew that he was on the come up, even though he was going up against Patrick Mahomes, because he put forth a sensational performance. But the Bills defense just couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes in the end. But Josh Allen had a terrific game and it came down to the wire. So we know that. Number two, I just want RC, my brother, my Libra brother, I might add, to just be a little bit more honest and forthcoming. If Josh Allen were your teammate, you'd be showing him guys like you and saying, excuse me, I was a hitman. I mean, I'm going to do something to you. You keep running on that damn field so much. Stop running so much. If he were your quarterback, you would tell him, stop doing it. So I don't know how you sit up there and applaud it and just applaud it now. Oh, yes, you would. Come on now. Yes, you would.
Big Ben was a pinata.
Hold on, wait a minute. Big Ben wasn't Big Ben wasn't running. It's just he was a big state. He's a big target. He was shrugging defenders off. Big Ben is a little bit different. Stop it now. His name is Big Ben, for crying out loud. And we ain't talking about some Campbell soup or something like that. All right? It's Big Ben for a reason. All right? Anybody calling Josh Allen that? You know good and well Ben didn't run like that. Stop that. The point is, you don't want Josh Allen exposing himself, because it's about the marathon. It's not about the sprint. You know,
RC tells people, and he teaches people that message all the time, but somehow, some way this morning, that is not how he is talking. I sense a little inconsistency there.
There's no inconsistency. This is you changing the entire conversation. We didn't ask
who
would be healthiest the longest. We asked right now who we would build our future on, and I believe that is Josh Allen. And both of you guys do make amazing points. And when you have these conversations, it's like the conversation on First Take yesterday. Was it whether it was Steph Curry's decade or if it was LeBron James's decade? Right? You take either of these quarterbacks. But I just think some of the things, I think some of the things that Josh Allen can do that can't be taught, that can't be learned, are some of those things that put you over the top when you're playing against teams who are more talented than yours. And that's what I say about looking at Josh Allen and thinking about who he can project to be. If he learns a little more patience under Ken Dorsey, you get the football mentality of Joe Burrow with an added extra talent level that Josh Allen possesses.
RC, I'm sorry, did I hear you correctly? Are you saying that there was a conversation that happened on First Take that mattered without me?
Oh, my God.
Is that what you're You got to love the Roscoe Jenkins, man.
Oh, my God. You know what you should add to your bio? Narcissist. Stephen A. Smith. Bro, we need to get that line in. Textbook narcissist.
I had to get him, Molly. I had to get him.
We had a good show yesterday.
You know?
We did, Stephen A. We did.
Yeah, no. Of course you had a good show. Y'all are great.
By the way, Allen is 4-0 at home in the playoffs, 0-3 on the road. Jalen Hurts, here's the one we're all waiting for.
Okay.
Struggled against the Giants week 18. But let's keep in mind, he was playing through pain dealing with that shoulder injury. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones silenced the critics with a dominant wildcard performance, both passing and running. The Eagles have an extra week of rest. The Giants just played, of course, on Sunday. Oh, Bart.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night. Can't wait. Who shines brighter? Is it Daniel Jones or Jalen Hurts?
This is tough, right? You know, because they tell you that, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times. Then I lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers three times, and I had to put that one to bed. You know, when you look at it, I'm interested to see what the addition of Adoree Jackson and McKenzie will be. The fact that they're healthy for the first time. And I want to see if the Eagles are going to put him at risk. They say that Jalen Hurts is healthy, but of course they're going to say he's healthy. You're never really healthy when you sustain an injury like that to the throwing shoulder. I want to see what happens, you know, by the play call. If they're putting him at risk, if they're saying, okay, we're going to use his legs, make him play 11 on 11, then I give the big edge to the Eagles. But if he's playing from the pocket and they're, you know, going traditionally the offense, then I say that the Giants and Wink Martindale, by seeing this offense three times, is going to have some new wrinkles and is going to force Jalen Hurts to have to play football. Like, whenever you're the number one seed, you get that bye week, sometimes you come back and you're flat. You know, the Giants have been playing for their football lives, you know, for the last couple of weeks as they fought to get in here. If they get out early, which they can because this is a familiar opponent, a familiar foe, I think Daniel Jones is playing lights out. His performance solidified him. You know, that listen, it wasn't about him as a talent, and maybe Dave Gettleman did get it right because I think he justified the pick. And I think this is the worst Daniel Jones we're ever going to see. He's never going to not have the type of weapons that he has now. He's doing more with less than any quarterback left within these playoffs.
Right.
I saw a decisive Daniel Jones, and I think that he's going to have probably the better statistic game. I just think ultimately the Philadelphia Eagles have the better team. But if I have to say better performance, you know, if you're talking about winning by losing, like we saw last year, we saw Josh Allen win by losing. I think this is the same opportunity for Daniel Jones to win by losing, showing us how elite he can be and that he's worthy of to be a franchise quarterback. But ultimately, I think Jalen Hurts gets the victory. But I think Daniel Jones shines more than Jalen Hurts.
Yo, Bart. That long-ass soliloquy ain't necessary. Giants don't stand a chance. It's a wrap.
What?
Season ends tomorrow night.
Stephen, I once was told I didn't have a chance, too.
Hold up. Producers, take 26, 32 seconds on Friday, January 20th. Okay, keep talking. We got it. I can't wait to play on Monday.
They don't stand a chance.
Really?
They don't stand a chance. Let me tell you something right now. I'll take it back. I'll take it back, Bart. I'll take it back.
No, don't.
The only chance they have is if Jalen Hurts is hurt. Jalen Hurts healthy. They're healthy enough. They don't stand a chance. They ain't winning this game. The Eagles, we've been saying all year long, is arguably the most complete team in football. The Giants have been compromised by injury. Even though we've seen some receivers step up, we get all of that. It's about Saquon Barkley, and we've seen an elevation in Daniel Jones. Brian Daboll's a leading coach of the year candidate. He's done a fantastic job. The Giants have had a really good season, actually won a playoff game, and has advanced to the divisional playoff round in the NFC. What a phenomenal, phenomenal year. Congratulations. It ends tomorrow night. Floor is yours, RC.
First off, the floor was supposed to be mine based on what I was told before you started. But as we've seen with your lack of support of the show when you're away, you only care about yourself.
Thank you.
This is what we know now.
None of that.
It is only about you.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I don't want to be this guy, especially because my girl Molly is such a large Giants fan. We're looking at what Daniel Jones was able to do two times against the Minnesota Vikings and thinking to ourselves, this is who he is as a whole. The two games against the Minnesota Vikings were his best two games of the entire season. The only other game statistically that looked like that was against the Detroit Lions. Now, we know how bad both of those defenses are. Is Daniel Jones better? Absolutely. Has Daniel Jones shown that he deserves an opportunity to be the franchise quarterback of the New York Giants and get a new contract? Absolutely. Daniel Jones is not Jalen Hurts. Daniel Jones does not have the weapons that Jalen Hurts has on the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts is going to have the better day. Jalen Hurts is the better player. Better team.
What? I was with you said he was a better player. I don't think that he's a more talented
quarterback. I'm not a horse.
Dimes.
He's a... Bart, don't you start this. Do you know how many times Daniel Jones has passed for over 230 yards this year?
I mean,
do you know?
Listen.
Three! Okay. The Vikings have a worse defense than they would have if me and you right now started at linebacker in safety form and can't neither one of us play no more.
Yeah, I'm done.
That was the team that Daniel Jones exploited. I'm not saying that Daniel Jones isn't good. What I'm saying is Daniel Jones is not what he was last week. You can't ask Daniel Jones to do that. The Vikings going into last week had 38 sacks. The Philadelphia Eagles going into this week have 70 sacks. The Vikings had an older Patrick Peterson and a third-string cornerback starting. The Philadelphia Eagles have Darius Slay and Bradbury starting. This is a different level of play. I expect Daniel Jones to be a good quarterback this weekend. He ain't better than Jalen Hurts. Daniel Jones is not a guy that is in the MVP conversation. Jalen Hurts was leading it upon being injured. I think Daniel Jones has done a really good job this year. I think Daniel Jones has proven he was worth the sixth pick of the draft. If you take this season and you go back to Jalen Hurts' draft class, Jalen Hurts has proven that he can be a first overall pick.
Okay.
We got to be able to say that.
Well, let's keep it real, Ace.
I want to hear Bart's response to this.
RC, Daniel Jones, in my opinion, is a better quarterback talent standpoint. I think he's a better pocket passer. We didn't speak of Jalen Hurts in this regard.
Until
they went out and got A.J. Brown, he has the best of everything. Like, listen, I think it's unfair for us to tell the people from a skill standpoint that Jalen Hurts is a superior quarterback to Daniel Jones. That remains to be seen.
How do their weapons compare?
They don't compare. He has the best offensive line.
They don't compare.
Listen.
Environments matter. We thought Tua was a bum until this year.
Bart, I hear what you're saying, Bart, but you're acting like we The Giants even didn't know who the hell Daniel Jones was coming into this year.
Because
if you're supremely talented, right? If you're supremely, Josh Allen is supremely talented. And if Josh Allen was playing as trash as Daniel Jones did coming into this year, you know what we would say? Man, but he is supremely talented. You were not talking about Daniel Jones' talent before this season. You weren't.
I was.
Don't
compared him to,
Don't be a liar.
I compared him to Josh Allen last year and a year before.
He can't throw Josh.
We had that same narrative about Matthew Stafford until he went out to a place that was competent. This dude had incompetence. Joe Judge was his coach.
We all knew Matthew Stafford was supremely talented. Bart, you're lying.
Be honest.
Daniel Jones stunk.
RC, man, this shirt costs way too much for you to be getting so hot and bothered underneath, man.
Because you're lying, man.
RC,
We got to end the segment. But Ryan is right from the standpoint. We didn't know. We weren't calling Matthew Stafford a bum. We all knew he could ball. And he arrived in L.A. with expectations because we thought he was we thought that he was stained by the Detroit Lions franchise at the time. Nobody thought that Matthew Stafford couldn't ball. That is true.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. That shirt's too expensive, man. Fresh cashmere.
It is cashmere. I'm sweating now.
RCA bad.
Coming up next, I can't wait for Monday's show.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Quick takes, let's get it. In a finals rematch, the Celtics finally got the better of the Warriors with a thrilling OT victory. Boston has now won 8 straight, sits atop the East. Stephen A., what does this win mean for Boston?
Boston's the best team in basketball, Molly. They can hurt you in a multitude of ways. Right now, I don't think anybody would argue with the fact that Jason Tatum is a leading league MVP candidate. He is a superstar. They have the best depth in the NBA.
One could argue about Denver as well, but I'm going to pick the Celtics for the moment. And not to mention the fact that their defense can turn it up a notch whenever Robert Williams is on the court. Right now, the Boston Celtics are easily the favorites to win it all.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Back to the NFL, guys. The relationship between Lamar Jackson and the Ravens appears to be at a crossroads. Jackson suffered a knee injury on December 4th. Initial comments from the Ravens said he would return, but the injury ended up ending his season. Lamar did not travel with the team to Cincinnati for its playoffs game against the Bengals on Saturday night. It's worth noting, though, Tua also didn't travel with his team either. Here's John Harbaugh on Lamar.
Lamar Jackson is our quarterback. I mean, he's been our quarterback. Everything we've done in terms of building our offense and building our team, how we think in terms of people and put people around him, is based on this incredible young man and his talent, his ability, and his competitiveness. Eric wants him here. I want him here. Steve wants him here. And Lamar wants to be here.
Stephen A., up first. How do you see this playing out between Lamar and the Ravens?
I think eventually Lamar Jackson will be traded. I'm not saying it's the wisest thing to do because he's a superstar talent. He's box office. He's all about Baltimore, all of this other stuff. This is no shade whatsoever thrown on Lamar Jackson. He's a tremendous, tremendous talent. I'm not questioning his skill. I'm not questioning the fact that he's worth $200 million. I'd give him $200 million today. Make no mistake about that. But to me, for it to have taken this long, something is awry. And Ryan, Bart, I don't know what that is. I heard Swag who come on the show earlier this week and initially said he was guaranteed $133 million. Then he corrected it because Chris Mortensen had reached out to him and said signing bonus essentially was about $133 million and $200 million was guaranteed. And that was still enough for him to say no because he's hell-bent on getting the money that Deshaun Watson has made. I don't know that. I'm just telling you what Swagoo said to me and Molly the other day right here on First Take. Having said all of that, I just think that when you take into account that he doesn't necessarily have the quintessential prototypical agent representing him, that family members are representing him, that they can't seem to come to an accord at this moment in time. They can say what they want, but to me, if all three of them were on the same page to that degree, a deal would have been done already if both sides really, really wanted to remain in Baltimore. Somebody's lying, y'all. I don't know who it is. I have no
clue. Yeah.
Somebody's lying. Because if all three of them are on the same page in Baltimore, and Lamar Jackson feels the way that he feels, supposedly about wanting to stay, a deal would have been done by now. Then the last thing, guys, if you remember, a little over a week ago, Lamar Jackson tweeted about his health situation and gave specifics over a tweet. He did not okay that and communicate with the Baltimore Ravens organization before he put that out. There is clearly a divide there. So if that is taken into consideration, when you see the greatness of Lamar Jackson and when you can fantasize about the assets that you could get for him, do you want to lose him? Hell no. But if he doesn't want to stay or somebody's in the way of an accord being reached, I can see that a trade inevitably is on the horizon. That's where I'm coming from with it.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this situation, especially you explaining it that way, Stephen A., that there was 200 guaranteed, and obviously we can't confirm that. You say, okay, what else does Lamar Jackson need, or what else does he want to stay in Baltimore if Steve and John and Lamar are all on the same page? The other thing is this, Damaris Smith, the NFLPA executive director, is actually on the Pivot today, and he's talking about guaranteed contracts, and he's saying about the way that the NBA moved toward, and also that Kirk Cousins has had a fully guaranteed contract, and Deshaun Watson had a fully guaranteed contract, and what it was the quarterbacks that came after them didn't demand the same thing. And so now these teams can put players back in the place that they say, no, you don't get a fully guaranteed contract, but here is what we will give you. And it seems that Lamar wants more and exactly what Deshaun Watson got, which meaning he wants more money, but he wants it all guaranteed in the same way that it happened for Deshaun Watson. And if that's a sticking point, I believe it ends in the trade too, Stephen A. I don't believe that Baltimore will bend on that. I listened to Rex Ryan on Monday talk about the way that this Baltimore organization does business, the people that this Baltimore organization is willing to part ways with. And what I said to him was, they ain't been Lamar Jackson. They aren't the quarterback of this team that's already won an MVP in his second year as a starter. But if those are certain things that are starting to be sticking points and be issues in this relationships, I do see a problem. And the last is this. When a quarterback feels the need to address the entire world through Twitter so they know what he is dealing with his injury, it says to me that he feels his team isn't representing him in the right way. He feels that his team doesn't have his back. And when Marlon Humphrey has to come out after the game and say, I knew Lamar wasn't going to play because I probably shouldn't say this, but I watched him limp around the facility. Why couldn't John Harbaugh say that? Why couldn't John Harbaugh have his quarterback's back? There's something going on inside that building that we don't know about that seems to make this deal hard to come to. And if that continues, I think you have to get as much as you can for him on the trade market.
There's no way in hell Amen. That the Baltimore Ravens let Lamar Jackson go, right? And we understand, right, from the owner perspective and from the player perspective, what's going on here, right? Cleveland set the football world on fire, right? Because they're the outlier.
Yeah.
Much like the Raiders used to be back in the day. That organization will do things that other organizations aren't willing to do because at some point they all understand that they have to work together. You can call it colluding or whatever you want to call it, but they have to work together.
Yeah.
So now that the precedent has been set for Deshaun Watson, the Baltimore Ravens don't want to be next in line because you understand what happens. That means that Joe Burrow, that means that Justin Herbert are yep. going to get guaranteed
yes.
contracts. That's why players were upset yep. with Russell Wilson because it has always been, you guys may not believe this, but at one time I was the highest paid linebacker in the NFL. Then D'Amico Ryan, right? And then it went so forward, then Patrick Willis. And that's just how it's supposed to go. So once the precedent is set with Deshaun Watson, it's the next guy's responsibility to secure the bag for the goals
yes.
that come after. And that's
absolutely
that's the sticking point. So $200 million is a lot of money, but Aaron Rodgers didn't demand it. So then they're saying we can't mm-hmm. give you that. And the issue is if they do trade Lamar Jackson, it has to be something in place that means that the next team is willing to give him the guaranteed bag. So
yep.
that's the difference. Right. What team is out there that's willing to
fuck
the system, that's willing to go to the owners meetings and look, we're getting guaranteed contracts, over a quarter of $1 billion to a player. And the reason why football and nobody will underwrite insurance policy for us, because we play in 100% injury. It's 100%
injury.
It's not 90%. It's not 50%. You're guaranteed no matter who you are to get injured. What we don't know if you're willing to play for.
Well, let me say.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let me say this to both of y'all. Let me say this to both of y'all just for clarification purposes, because y'all are football guys and y'all. Chris Mortensen, according to Swagoo, I'm going to mm-hmm. reiterate the point that Swagoo said it was $113 million. Chris Mortensen, Swagoo says, mm-hmm. came back and said it was $200 million guaranteed, but $113 million at signing.
Okay.
Now I've got agents texting me saying they're saying it was $113 million guaranteed. And I'm like, I find that latter hard to believe.
Yeah.
That if Kyler Murray's got $189 million and Russell Wilson got $165
right.
million and Aaron Rodgers got $150 million and Matthew Stafford has $130 million, I find it very difficult to believe that the Baltimore Ravens
right.
would come to Lamar Jackson with just $113 million guaranteed. But let me say this. If that is true, I find that very hard to believe. But let's say for some absolutely inexplicable reason, that is true. And that's what they're coming to him with, $113 million
guaranteed wrong.
In today's culture.
Dead wrong.
They are dead wrong. It explains everything that Lamar Jackson seems to be indicating, and he should demand a trade. If they came to him and guaranteed just $113 million instead of something close or at $200 million.
In today's climate,
if that's their guarantee offer, he needs to get the hell out of Baltimore.
I've done three negotiations with the Ravens.
Yeah.
They don't operate like that. But they ain't going to be foolish at all. And they're not going to set a precedent. They're not going to be Cleveland. But come on, man. They're not going to do that. I was there with Ray's deal, my deal, Terrell's deal. Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you. Because that's what people are saying. I don't know what's true. That's why I'm giving it to y'all. I'm giving it to y'all because that's what people say. I don't know. I have no clue.
Real quick,
that's why I'm giving it to y'all.
One word answer here. RC, what could be a good team for him to go to?
The Jets.
I think the Jets would be an amazing team for Lamar.
Yeah, Joe Douglas, Jets.
Okay. I agree.
Stephen A.
Jets. Absolutely.